This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehiyas Wuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight:
they weren't illegal immigrants. They were working here legally. The man who died had lived here since 2010 and was working actively to try and improve the rights of immigrant workers.
That's reporter Josephine McKenna talking about an attack on migrants in Italy. Details coming up.
Also, Zimbabwe's main opposition alliance calls for electoral reforms, and the Ethiopian government ends its state of emergency.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story: Zimbabwe's main opposition alliance has painted the capital, Harare, red as thousands of people wearing the alliance's color came out in a demonstration calling for electoral reforms. Reporter Kuzai Zvinavashi has details.
Thousands of people turned out today to join the MDC alliance as it petitioned the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, or ZEC. Gift Ostalos is with the Movement for Democratic Change and is part of the youthful group that has been running the campaign hashtag Generational Consensus.
People are gathered here to remind Justice Chikumba, the chairperson of ZEC, that citizens are in demand of free, fair and credible elections. We want to make it categorically clear here that Zimbabwe Electoral Commission chairperson, with respect to Justice Chikumba, must deliver free, fair and credible elections.
Ostalos adds that President Emmerson Mnangagwa's slogan that Zimbabwe is open for business should be reinforced by a fair electoral process. Pride Mukono is chairperson of Crisis in Zimbabwe Youth. His organization fears that the government is trying to manipulate the ZEC ahead of the July 30th election. One major complaint is the lack of transparency about the preparations.
And that is what the people of Zimbabwe are saying no to. That is why they are gathered here to say that it's never too late to have a free and fair election. And that's what they want. We want to know who is printing the ballot paper. We want to know how many ballot papers have been printed. We want an audit of the biometric voters' roll.
Ostalo says the Electoral Commission will have to give in to their demands.
Zimbabwe Electoral Commission has got no option. Robert Mugabe had no option. Emmerson Mnangagwa, who has taken power, has no option. Said that deliver free and fair elections or will suffer the consequences of a mad and illegitimate governance.
The government has pledged a fair election, the first since the army forced President Robert Mugabe out of office last November, ending his 37-year rule. Munyara Dzidodo is the editor of Open Parli, an online publication that covers parliament and political developments. He says today's petition may not achieve much.
MDC had their chance in contributing to the Electoral Amendment Bill. They were not attending the parliament hearings, save for Priscilla Msiairambui and Jessima Jomo, who were fighting tooth and nail. So parliament is where those reforms come from.
Dodo says, with elections set for next month and parliament about to end its session soon, there is very little that can be done to change the electoral landscape. For VOA, this is Kuzai Zvinavashi from Harare.
Ethiopia today ended its state of emergency 2 months early. Parliament approved a government request to end the six-month state of emergency, saying the country has been relatively stable and calm. The state of emergency was declared when former Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn resigned on February 15th. The lifting of the state of emergency is among the biggest changes made by Hailemariam's successor, Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed. Abiy has pledged reforms and has released thousands of prisoners, including opposition leaders. Tensions in some of the more restive areas of the country have eased. Abiy is the first prime minister from the Oromo ethnic group. Frustration with the ruling Ethiopian people's Revolutionary Democratic Front had sparked more than 2 years of protests, particularly in Oromo areas, before Haile Mariam resigned.
Italy's new Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte condemned the killing of a Malian migrant over the weekend. When he spoke to Parliament this morning, Sumala Sacco was killed Saturday night in a shooting incident that also injured two other migrants. Migrant farm workers protested the killing by going on strike yesterday. More tension was created when Italy's Interior Minister Matteo Salvini referred to Tunisian migrants as convicts during a local campaign stop in Sicily. Reporter Josephine McKenna updates us on this latest migrant development.
Well, this was a terrible tragedy, and there's fury after this killing. Sumala Sacco, a 29-year-old from Mali, was shot and killed on Saturday in a shooting in which two other migrants from Mali were also injured. Now, the three of them lived in a tent community in a town called San Ferdinando in southern Calabria, in the southern tip of Italy. And this is an encampment with several hundred poorly paid immigrants who are exploited and used for picking the crops in the southern region. And when this gentleman was killed, first of all, there was confusion about whether he was robbing a factory because the three of them together were looking to pick up sheet metal from an abandoned factory. But it does seem that he might have been killed because he was actually a union worker, an active trade unionist, working to defend the rights of immigrants. And so this is a very explosive situation down there. People are very upset. And immigrants, as you can imagine, are already upset because they're in a very difficult situation where they're earning maybe $25 a day to be working very, very hard in a very difficult situation. Now they have concerns about their personal safety and security.
Is there any type of investigation going on right now to find out who did it?
There is an investigation underway, but it's important to remember that in this region, it is completely dominated by the mafia known as 'Ndrangheta in southern Calabria. These migrants are particularly exploited by organized crime, and it's quite possible, it hasn't been confirmed, but it could be related to organized crime. The migrants themselves took to the streets yesterday. They were furious. They held a street protest saying, "We're sick and tired of being exploited. We're living as slaves. We don't want to live in tents or shacks. We want homes." And it's important to remember that the three that were targeted in this shooting, including the man that was killed, actually had legal papers to work in Italy. They weren't illegal immigrants. They were working here legally. The man who died had lived here since 2010 and was working actively to try and improve the rights of immigrant workers.
Also, Italy's new prime minister spoke today to Parliament and he mentioned this incident.
The new prime minister is Giuseppe Conte. He is a law professor who has just been appointed prime minister because we've had an election with two new populist parties taking government. Neither had enough to be completely in charge of the parliament, so they've got this compromise candidate, Giuseppe Conte. Now, he spoke to Parliament today. It was his first speech to the parliament, and he spoke out about this crime, saying we shouldn't be insensitive to this. This tragic event deserves serious reflection, and he received a standing ovation from the other MPs. I think that's important to remember, that there is this acknowledgement, because there was concern that politicians were not acknowledging what had happened. In fact, Matteo Salvini, the head of the Anti-Immigrant League Party, that is now one of the parties in power, acknowledged that the people who had killed Sacco were animals, but he also said that tent camps were provoking some sort of social conflict. So you can see that a politician like that is not very sympathetic to what's going on and what concerns the immigrants on the ground and what they're dealing with day to day.
Also, Salvini made a comment during a local campaign stop that referred to Tunisian migrants or immigrants as convicts. What has been the reaction to this?
He made a very strong statement about unwelcome immigrants from Tunisia, calling them convicts, which shocked and amazed the Tunisian government, which has been working closely with Italy on the immigration issue. And the president of Tunisia immediately summoned the Italian ambassador in Tunis to demand an explanation.
That was Josephine McKenna. She spoke with me from Rome.
The International Organization for Migration says the death toll from an overcrowded migrant ship that sank off the coast of Tunisia could be at least 100. Tunisia's Coast Guard says an estimated 180 people, mostly Tunisians, were aboard the boat. That's more than double its capacity. Only 68 survivors have been found. The boat started taking on water 2 hours after departing from the Karakana coast Saturday night. It took several hours before rescuers arrived. The IOM says survivors reportedly paid $780 to $1,170 to reach Europe. Meanwhile, the UN will host the fifth round of negotiations on a new global compact for migration this weekend.
The World Health Organization reports no new cases of Ebola in the DRC have been confirmed since May 17th. WHO finds that of 56 reported cases, 37 are confirmed, 13 are probable, and 6 are suspected. The death toll stands at 25. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The World Health Organization says not too much should be read into the fact that the number of confirmed Ebola cases has remained stable since mid-May. It says these numbers should be viewed with some caution. WHO spokesman Tarek Jazarevich says it is critical that all people who have had contact with an infected person are identified. He says even one person with Ebola could create a number of new cases by coming in contact with people at social events or religious ceremonies such as funerals. Jazarevich tells VOA it is premature to let down one's guard. He says healthcare workers, responders, and communities must remain vigilant.
The Ebola outbreak in DR Congo is not over, and we need to continue to work. There are lots of areas that are difficult to reach, that we have to go to, that we need to make sure that we get to all the contacts. So there are still contacts that have not been reached. So it is really too early to say that the outbreak is contained.
Jazarevich says good progress is being made in vaccinating people who have come in contact with infected individuals. He says a vaccination campaign in Imbandaka, a city of more than 1 million people, is now over, as all 577 known contacts of Ebola patients, healthcare workers, and other vulnerable people there have been inoculated against the disease. He says vaccinations are ongoing in the village of Bikoro, where Ebola was first detected, and in Iboko, a remote, difficult-to-reach area. Ebola has broken out 9 times in the DRC since the virus was discovered in that country in the 1970s. An outbreak in West Africa a few years ago left more than 11,000 people dead. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You're listening to African News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580, and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehi Swuhib, 19 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. Zimbabwe's main opposition alliance calls for electoral reforms, saying the country has been relatively stable and calm. The Ethiopian government has ended its state of emergency. And Italy's new Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte condemns the killing of a Malian migrant. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
In more news around the continent, authorities in Niger are still investigating 3 suicide bomb attacks that killed at least 9 people late last night. 3 women crossed into Niger from Nigeria and detonated their explosive vest near a mosque in the border town of Difa. Officials say the area was crowded with people attending the evening meal to end the daily Ramadan fast. Difa is in southeastern Niger, near the border with Nigeria and Chad, and not far from northern Cameroon. The area has seen multiple attacks by militants from the radical Boko Haram group.
As the planet marks World Environment Day, protesters in Kenya took to the streets to demand the government stop building a coal power plant in the country. VOA's Mohamed Yusuf reports.
Dawn in skeleton costumes signaling death, protesters chanted "No coal, it's poison," and marched in the streets of Nairobi to demand the government halt construction of a coal plant in the town of Lamu. Khalid Hussein of Haki Africa is one of the protest organizers.
We want to send the message very clearly to the President of the Republic of Kenya that we say no to coal. Coal is poisonous, coal kills. We cannot allow this project to proceed. For China, that is also supporting and funding this program, we are asking them to take this project to their country.
The coal power plant, which is estimated to cost $2 billion, is waiting for the green light from Kenya's Environmental Court. The plant will be constructed by a Chinese company, China Power Global. Kenyan officials insist the plant will help meet the country's growing demand for electric power. The country's environmental agency has accepted the plans, saying all environmental concerns were considered. Critics, however, believe such a project will pollute the environment and damage the marine ecosystem. Faisal Mohammed is a Lamu resident. He says President Uhuru Kenyatta should halt the project.
So we want him to realize that Lamu is a beautiful place. We have good beaches, good environment, and Lamu people are Kenyans like the rest, and they have the right to live in a good, clean environment.
The coastal town is designated as a UNESCO heritage site for houses that were built from coral stones and their carved wooden doors. Another protester said there are other ways to generate power and create jobs.
Sisi hatupingi mradi, twapinga sumu.
We are not against a project. We are against a project which is poisonous to us. We don't want a project that is going to affect us. If you care about us, we have a lot of fish. Build for us a factory.
So we are appealing to the committee on environment, please. You do everything.
Protesters ended their march at the parliament to submit their petition. Ali Waria, a member of parliament and a member of the environment committee, accepted the petition. We promise as a parliamentary committee we are going to look into this and take necessary action as your representatives. You do not have to worry. When the committee is meeting, you'll be invited to speak. Chinese companies have either developed or financed more than 200 coal-powered plants being built around the world, according to the Global Coal Tracker, an environmental activist group. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
A group of activists marched on the Ugandan police headquarters today, criticizing what they see as a lack of response to recent kidnappings and killings. The protest comes amid complaints that police do not do enough to protect ordinary Ugandans. Halima Othmani reports for VOA from Kampala.
A group of 20 Ugandan activists, the majority women, sought an audience on Tuesday with the chief of Uganda's police force. Donning black T-shirts, the women chanted, carried banners that said, "Women's lives matter," and used saucepans and small drums to call attention to their protest. But as they approached police headquarters, walking with men carrying coffins, anti-riot police pounced. Four men and one woman were arrested and led away in handcuffs. VOA spoke to Sare Peru before she was arrested.
We want security. That is paramount. We want conclusive investigations. And then we want a desk specifically for these murders put in place so that we know that there's a desk which is going to work on the murders to investigate and then maybe put mechanisms in place which will make sure that we are secure.
This is the second protest this week by activists who say police are not giving ordinary citizens enough protection. The activists point to several kidnappings that have gone unsolved, with some ending up in gruesome murders of victims, even after relatives paid ransom money. But police say that some of the alleged abductions were actually self-kidnappings done by people trying to defraud their relatives. As for the killings, police say some of those were crimes of passion or ritual murders. Patrick Onyango is the deputy police spokesman.
Since January up to today, we have had 42 cases of kidnap that have been reported and investigated. 7 cases involved murder with 8 victims. 20 cases were of self-kidnap. 8 cases, all victims were rescued alive. 7 cases, victims are still missing.
So far, only one recent kidnap case is in court after the abduction and killing of a wealthy businessman's daughter. 9 suspects have been arrested with the incident. When people call the police in Uganda, officers sometimes seek payment for fuel before driving to the crime scene. Last year, the Inspector General of Police was asked why this is happening. He said police are being given less fuel by the government, so the public should pitch in. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to The Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Linus Rimkus, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Bratty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
This is a public service announcement from VOA Africa.
If you come into contact with the bodily fluids of a person infected with Ebola, you must wash with soap and water immediately. I'm Dr. Conde Greaves. The Ebola virus is only present in the blood, feces, vomit, breast milk, sweat, and semen of people who are seriously ill. The virus must get into your body to infect you. Do not touch your eyes, nose, or mouth, and cover any cuts on the skin. If you are caring for someone who has Ebola, do not handle bedding, towels, or clothes that may be soiled with bodily fluids without gloves. Avoid sexual activity with male survivors of Ebola. Men carry the virus in semen for up to 90 days. Ebola cannot survive for long outside the body. Sunlight, heat, Clorox, and alcohol will kill the virus. Know the facts about Ebola. Knowledge is life.
This was a public service announcement from VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we look at the heroic rescue of a child by a migrant from Mali and examine the forces that pushed him out of Africa and into Europe. What are the factors that propel people to leave their country? And why is Europe such an alluring destination? On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America, VOA.